MacCast, Friday, November 1st, 2013. Hey, Mac Geeks, it's time for your MacCast, the show for Mac Geeks by Mac Geeks. I'm Adam, and this is the show where we discuss all things Macintosh. How you doing? Welcome back to the MacCast. Well, big day for Apple today. Apple released its iPad Air, and for this episode, I figured I'd be doing my usual thing for you, which is sitting down and talking about the new iPad Air with some people who picked them up, some owners, and discussing how much they're liking the device, what they like about it, those sorts of things. And we've done these kinds of episodes on the show in the past. But a funny thing happened on the way to the Apple Store. Actually, two things happened. First, Apple sort of changed how they handled the launch for this event, at least in the US, from an online ordering perspective. And they didn't do pre-orders, but they did take online orders. And we're going to talk about how that process went a little bit. I'm going to give you my experience of buying my new iPad Air and how it all went down. And then the second thing that happened was, you know, the iPad went through a pretty radical redesign for the full-size iPad. And in that process, it seems to have raised a lot more questions for many of you on, one, you know, is this the right iPad to upgrade to? I already have an iPad, or this is going to be my first iPad. Which one should I get? Because Apple introduced not just one new iPad, but of course, two. We have the update to the iPad Mini. That's not available for sale yet. It's going to happen sometime this month. Apple hasn't given us an exact date, although one of the rumored dates is the 22nd, I believe, which would be a Thursday, which would be a bit odd, but maybe trying to slip it in right before Black Friday. But regardless, you've got two to choose from. And so a lot of people are sort of on the fence. Well, I thought I was going to get a mini, but then the iPad Air looks really attractive, or I'm not so sure about the Air. And there's a lot of things that go into potentially making that decision. And I realized we probably should be talking about that. So I lined up a couple folks, Kelly Gaumont and Katie Floyd. We're going to sit down and talk to them about sort of how they went through that whole what iPad should I buy question, or am I going to upgrade to question. And I'll give you my thoughts on what I was thinking about, because I even flip-flopped on this issue, or at least I think I'm going to flip-flop on my thoughts on sort of what the quote-unquote perfect iPad is. So we're going to get into all of that in this episode. But before we get started, I do want to take a quick moment and thank one of my show sponsors, and that is Squarespace. You know, building and designing a website, that's a tricky thing. It is not simple. I'm a web developer. I know how to put together websites. And you throw in e-commerce, you know, I want to have a shopping cart on my store, and it can become really daunting for a lot of people, almost impossible, not to mention it can be pretty costly. Well, it doesn't have to be, though, if you have Squarespace and you have Squarespace Commerce, which comes with Squarespace. So if you have Squarespace, you have Squarespace Commerce. And they make it really easy to build your website. They have award-winning, mobile-ready site designs that look beautiful. And guess what? All of those designs are built to support their e-commerce system, their e-commerce platform. So if you need to set up a shop, Squarespace is a great way to do it. It allows you to sell physical and digital products all from a single interface. One of the biggest headaches that you often have when you're doing an e-commerce site is setting up your payment processing. You're dealing with merchant accounts, payment gateways, complicated fee structures. It can be a real big hassle. Well, Squarespace Commerce has you covered there too, because they have a 30-second merchant sign-up using Stripe, which is an awesome service. You get instant approval, no paperwork. You can start receiving money for purchases and getting them direct deposited in just moments. And they add no additional transaction fees. Squarespace doesn't take a cut. You just pay the Stripe charges, which is 2.9% plus 30 cents per transaction. So if you combine Squarespace and Squarespace Commerce, you can really give your customers that full integrated experience. You're not going to be redirecting them off to some other third-party hosted cart, which sort of makes this disjointed experience. You can keep it all within the Squarespace environment all within your site. They are not going off to different places. And Squarespace makes it really easy if you have an existing cart with, say, Shopify or Big Cartel, you can bring all of your inventory right into your Squarespace site with just a couple clicks. And Squarespace Commerce is international. It's currently available in the US, the UK, Canada, Australia, Belgium, France, Germany, Ireland, the Netherlands, and Spain. So plenty of places where you can set up shop. And they have full tax and shipping rules by region. So they've thought of everything. And best of all, you can start a free trial of Squarespace, no credit card required, just start building your website, putting together the perfect site for you. And when you decide to sign up with Squarespace and buy, you can use the offer code MACCAST11 to get 10% off your first purchase. So check them out, Squarespace. It's everything you need to build an exceptional website, and a big thank you to them for their support of the MACCAST. So let's talk about that new iPad Air. I'm going to give you a little bit of my buying experience, which was really great this time around. And I was a little bit worried. You know, once Apple decided that they weren't going to have pre-orders on new devices, and this is looking to be a trend, they didn't do it with the iPhone 5S. They didn't do it with the iPad Air. I always used to do the thing where I would buy online and have it shipped to my house. It would show up on launch day. That was a great experience. But for whatever reason, Tim Cook seems to have decided he wants us going into a retail store, into an Apple store. I personally, and I don't have any evidence of this, but my thought is that he said in a quarterly conference call that they wanted more people buying their devices from Apple stores because that's where people go to get support, regardless of where they buy it. So I think they want people coming into the Apple store, getting that full experience. They can get help with setup and those sorts of things. And that's great if you can get the process down to something that is hassle-free for customers. And I can tell you, my personal experience, I don't like having to camp out in front of an Apple store all night. I like going down there for the launch events. You know that. It's a fun experience. If you haven't done that, it's worth doing at least once. But once you've done it a few dozen times, you realize, you know, I just want to be able to go in and get my device. So what's great is there were rumors leading up to this launch that Apple was going to be offering the ability to order online but get in-store pickup on launch day. This is something they have never done before. We've had in-store pickup where you can go online, you can shop, and then check on if you can pick it up at your local location. But that usually happens days, if not weeks, after the initial launch. So I was pretty excited that this might be a possibility. So I decided to fire up the App Store app just before midnight on the 31st, on Halloween, and see if the rumors were true. And luckily enough, it was, although at first I didn't see the pickup in-store option. I think I had to actually go to the store tab in the app and actually select the retail location that I wanted to browse and buy from. And then once I did that, I had the option to get in-store pickup. I go to the Carlsbad store in North County, San Diego, and I was able to put my order in, got it in just minutes after midnight, and it was a completely smooth process. I've moved to using the App Store app on my iPad as my preferred way of ordering online. I've run into too many problems in the past with Apple's online ordering system, but this time around, it seems like things went really smoothly. Looking at Twitter and some of the reports from some of you, it seems like everybody was able to get their orders in, and that was not a problem whatsoever. Immediately after I placed my order, I got a confirmation with a note saying I was going to get another email when my order was ready for pickup. This made me a little bit nervous because I wasn't really sure, well, are they going to delay it? Am I not going to be able to pick it up on launch day? Will it be in the afternoon? So it didn't show up immediately. Another confusing thing with the order was that I got two order confirmations. I actually purchased a black smart cover in the same order with my iPad Air, and for whatever reason, they came across individually with individual order numbers, individual confirmation emails, and turns out the in-store pickup emails also showed up as two separate emails. I did get those in the morning. It was around 6:30 a.m. saying my items were ready for pickup and I could come into the Apple retail store and do that. And they were opening up at 8 a.m. So that was sort of perfect timing. So I don't know if the employees had to get into the store and sort of you know, trigger the operation for those going out. I'm not really sure how Apple's backend system works, but that was sort of the ordering experience, and it was great. It was a really great experience. And so my order was ready to go. And again, this was very different from other launches. I just drove down to the retail store. They opened up at 8 a.m. I was there. When I got there, there was a small line of people, maybe about 30, 40, possibly 50 people in line, much smaller than we've seen with previous launches. That's the retail store that I go to when I do wait in line and do that whole thing. And typically, you know, there'll be 100, 200 people in line for a launch, but this was smaller, which I was kind of expecting, considering the fact that Apple was doing the online ordering thing. A number of people, I think, were aware they were doing the pickup option, although in talking to some employees, it looks like many of the 50 or 40 to 50 people who were sitting there in line weren't aware that the in-store pickup was going to be an option on launch day, and had it been, they probably would not have been there. But they had two separate lines, one to the right of the door for people who are waiting, and then to the left of the door, they had a line for the in-store pickup people. So someone directed me there. There was one other person in line who had done the pre-order. A little bit later, Simon from iDownload blog, who also goes to that same retail store, if you follow that website, and you should check out iDownload blog, he showed up for his in-store pickup about 15 minutes after me. So that was kind of fun. We got to chat about the whole experience, and he in the past has gone to the AT&T store to pick up his devices just to avoid the crowd, but I like going to the Apple retail stores. But they got me in pretty quickly, so they were kind of alternating. They would let, you know, someone from the line in, and then someone would come out and let someone from the in-store pickup line in. They were alternating, trying to make things fair and everything, and they got me in there pretty quickly. And the assistant helping me, when she went back to get my order, she came back saying, oh, the guys in the back of the house sort of doing the inventory stuff, they told me to get lost. They shooed me away, and they said they'd bring up the order when it was ready. And that became a little bit of a wait. We probably waited around for about 20 minutes. The associate kept having to apologize to me for the delay, because that's typically not how it goes when you go into an Apple retail store. And it was a bit awkward. It also made me a little bit nervous about my order, but I noticed that other people who were there for in-store pickup were getting kind of the same experience. There were a lot of people milling around, and even people who had come in waiting in line seemed to be waiting quite a bit longer than normal to actually get their devices. So I'm not really sure what was going on, but it did give me an opportunity to do a little chit-chat with the associate and a store manager there, and that was good because I got some information about sort of how this launch was going. And it seems like the reason for the delay was this was the first time they've done a launch day in-store pickup thing. So they were kind of working out some of the kinks in the back of the house on how they were going to manage the inventory and stuff like that. They probably had to separate those pre-orders and make sure that those were set aside and that they didn't oversell to the people who are maybe waiting in line. So I think they were kind of all sorting that out. And normally when they do these launch events, a lot of times they'll have what's called an overnight with the associates. So everybody will be around and they'll be getting everything ready from closing the night before until opening that next morning. So they're there the whole night, and that gives them a little more time. I guess this time around, they just came in the morning, probably around 6:30 when I got my confirmation email and started doing things. So there might have been a few more iPads that they had to deal with than maybe they were expecting, because I also got from the manager there that they had about 140 orders overnight. So that, if you combine that with the 40 or 50 people in line, that kind of lines up with that 100 to 200 people buying items on launch day, at least for that retail store. It's a little bit of a smaller store, so that's typically how many people they get. I'm sure other locations it was much larger. It varies location by location. But as far as the people who were waiting in line, I also found out that many of them got there around 6 a.m. or a handful of them, I guess. But most people just were able to show up right before opening, right before 8 o'clock, and they seemed to have no problems with having inventory. There was plenty of stuff available there. So once my order was brought up after about 20 minutes, the rest of the process went really quick. I picked up an iPad Air 64 gigabyte Wi-Fi model, and as I mentioned, the smart case. I will have pictures in an unboxing video of up and available. It'll be on the MacCast Flickr account for the unboxing photos, and I'll throw the video up on the MacCast YouTube channel. So if you want to check those out, just check those places in the next day or two, and they should be up there. But overall, great experience, even despite the small delay and some of the issues in the back of the house. I've also heard some stories from many of you and a few other people that lines were indeed shorter than they have been in the past at most locations, and that overall the supply of iPad Airs seems to be plentiful, whether you go to a carrier store or a big box store or an Apple retail store, even Apple authorized resellers. The one thing that was a little bit disappointing is I heard that in the UK they weren't offering the in-store pickup option, and I think that was probably the case for other countries as well. So that might have been a US only thing, and I hope it's something that Apple is maybe testing out for this launch and is successful and something that they roll out for future launches, because I think that's a great way to go, at least if they're not going to offer pre-orders with delivery on launch day. It's at least a good option. And I did get one report from a UK Apple authorized retail reseller location saying that they had plenty of the 16 gigabyte space gray model, but they only received a few, one or two of most of the other models, and they didn't get any of the 128 gigabyte cellular models. So I wish Apple was... I've heard this trend with Apple's authorized resellers that they kind of hold back quantity and give preference to the Apple retail store. I wish they wouldn't do that, because, you know, those independent resellers, they were the ones that supported Apple long before they had their retail stores. That was the great place to go to buy stuff. It still is. If you have one in your local area, consider going there on launch day if you can, so that it encourages Apple to give them more and more stock and get devices there on launch day. We have a great one here. Crywolf in San Diego is an awesome place. They always take really good care of their customers, and you get a much more personalized experience than, you know, and I'm a fan of the Apple retail stores. I like them, but if you want that personalized great experience, check out your local Apple authorized reseller, and hopefully Apple will get a little less stingy about the inventory that they give to those guys, because they do a great job selling Apple products. So, got my Air home. Let's talk about some of my initial thoughts. Well, actually, my initial thoughts started in the retail store, because that's where I got my first hands-on experience. As I was waiting around in other advantages, I got to walk over, and they had the iPad Airs out on display. So, I got to play around with them a little bit there in the store. And my immediate reaction was that I wasn't sure it felt all that much lighter than my third-generation iPad. And I think maybe that was because my expectations had set pretty high based on some of the things I was reading online. And I was expecting this huge, dramatic, and immediate difference. The first time I held an iPad mini. The first time I held an iPad mini, it was like, wow, this is super light. It almost felt unnatural. And I was kind of, I guess, expecting that sort of thing from the iPad Air. And I didn't have that reaction. And it was probably because I was already used to the weight of the iPad mini. That was sort of the iPad I've been using as my daily iPad. So it's very similar in weight to that. So it didn't seem that extreme. I think I didn't have that muscle memory from how heavy the third generation iPad is. And by the same token, I didn't have that right there to do a direct comparison. Once I was able to do that, have the iPad Air in one hand and the third generation in the other hand, it's very obviously much lighter. I did, in the store, immediately love the look of the new iPad. It brings it in line with the iPad mini, and so Apple has a consistent sort of design language for all of their iPad lineup now, and I love how thin it is, and just the look overall is great. It's like a bigger iPad mini versus a smaller, thinner iPad with Retina display. And that's really the best way I could put it. It's like the daddy iPad mini. And that's a cool thing. Size-wise, it's the same height, just slightly narrower, a little bit narrower than the third-generation, fourth-generation iPad. It's also just a little bit thinner. Although, in your hand, I think just because the shape matches that of the iPad mini, it feels almost thinner than it actually is. It's 0.29 inches versus 0.37 inches. And it is just a hair thicker than the iPad mini, 1/100th of an inch. So really, almost exactly the same thinness as the iPad mini, which is really, really cool. And I think adds to that fact that it feels like this big iPad mini. I love the look of the space gray. I have to comment, one thing I immediately hated was it has this really highly polished mirrored Apple logo on the back, and it looks awesome. When you take it out of the box, you're like, oh, that is sexy. That looks great. And that experience lasts for about a millisecond, because the minute you get a fingerprint or any sort of thing on that logo, it just shows up like a beacon. Smudges on it, it looks terrible. I'm going to be obsessive about polishing that Apple logo. Maybe that's what Apple wants, I don't really know, but I don't like that aspect of it. So I don't know if I'm going to get a skin or a cover or something to prevent that from happening, because I think I'm going to go OCD on that Apple, that mirrored Apple logo. I haven't had long enough with the iPad Air to sort of make a call in terms of, you know, does the performance of the new A7 chip matter very much on a day-to-day basis? I can tell you it feels very smooth and snappy, but I've felt the same about my iPad mini and even my third generation iPad, which many people tell me I should feel is just slow because it's underpowered for the Retina display. I've never personally noticed that experience, but maybe I'm not paying that close of attention. But performance-wise, the iPad Air feels, you know, just like your iPad. And the smart cover, I got to comment on the smart cover, because I think it's much better than the one for the iPad mini. It's got the same sort of attachment mechanism with the folded over little bar. You know, it doesn't have the metal of the old smart cover. So styling wise, again, very much in line with the covers for the iPad mini. But an issue I've always had with my iPad mini smart cover is it falls off very easily. It comes off very easily. I do not have that issue with the iPad Air smart cover. It is much stronger in attaching to the iPad. Doesn't just fall off. You actually have to give it a pretty good tug to get it to come off. And same goes for the magnets in the cover flap. They hold really well and stay shut until you actually want to open it. With my iPad mini, that can kind of flop around if I give it a little bit of a good shake. On this one, I tried, you know, shaking the iPad with the cover closed and sort of facing downward, and it is not coming open. You actually have to grab the edge and lift it up before it actually opens up. So that's good. I hopefully they'll make similar improvements and adjustments to the iPad mini smart cover. But overall, I'm very happy with the iPad Air. Now we just need some time to figure out if it was sort of the right iPad or the right thing. And that's really leads into what I want to talk about mostly today. And that's this iPad buying decision. You know, after Apple announced the iPad Air and the iPad mini with a Retina display, I immediately started having a lot of conversations with people and had people asking me questions about, you know, what's the right iPad to buy? Which iPad should I get? And I even found myself personally conflicted, because going into the event, just based on the rumors and everything we were hearing, I was almost 100% sure that when Apple announced the iPad mini with Retina display and the newer full-sized iPad, I was going to skip the full-sized iPad again. I had a third generation. I didn't go for the fourth generation with Retina display. And I thought, you know, I'm probably not going to get this new one, even though it's going to be redesigned and thinner and lighter. I wasn't expecting it to be that much lighter. And I had fallen in love with my non-Retina iPad mini. It had pretty much become my go-to iPad, and that was because of the size and the weight. It was just so convenient to carry around, to throw in my bag when I was heading out, or just grab. I mostly just grab it and take it with me without any kind of bag or anything. It's so light and easy to carry around, and I absolutely love it. And because of this, though, I also found myself gravitating back to lugging around my 15-inch MacBook Pro when I left the house and I felt I needed to do quote-unquote real work. I would make sure that I brought my laptop with me along with the iPad mini. And prior to owning the iPad mini, I had often had scenarios where I just went out with my third generation iPad in lieu of the laptop, and I could do actual work on it, like things like prepping show notes and typing and writing out stuff was great to do on the third generation iPad. With the iPad mini, I really don't like typing on it, so it had become a scenario where I was doing a lot more consumption with my iPad and very few, very little creation of content. And I think that was mainly because of the size. So I was doing this sort of balancing act of giving up the ability to do content creation for that portability. And I kind of had resolved myself that I was okay with that. And so I knew that fifth generation iPad was going to be narrower, but when it turned out to be as light as it is, and just the design, the narrowness makes it a little bit more portable. After that announcement, I started to think, well, the right iPad for me might be the iPad Air. I kind of did this complete 180. And because I skipped the fourth generation, I kind of really wanted to get a new full-sized iPad. So right now, the iPad Air is looking to be this perfect balance between the size and the weight and the screen size. And only time is going to tell and prove to me if that was the right decision. As a matter of fact, I had a family member hide my iPad mini from me so that I'm going to force myself to have the iPad Air be my only iPad for the next couple weeks. So you'll come along with me on this little experiment and I'll give you updates on how it's going. But I really think that I might this time around actually skip the iPad mini. I still love my iPad mini, but I've really not had an issue with the lack of Retina display. And so the update for the iPad mini is really all about the display. And I think I can hold off maybe one more generation, again, if the iPad Air turns out to be this perfect balance that I think it's going to be. And I'll tell you, it's already kind of started, because when I left the house this afternoon and I went to grab the iPad Air, I actually had a little bit of a double take moment. I grabbed it and it felt exactly like my iPad mini as I picked it up. And I was just kind of, you know, grabbing it off the desk, and wasn't really paying a lot of attention. So when I picked it up, I went, I want to make sure I have my iPad Air. I looked at the device and I have a different color case. So immediately I knew I did grab the iPad Air. But because of the shape of the back case, because it feels in your hand just like the iPad mini, and the weight is so close to the iPad mini, that to me was a good sign that my little experiment might actually work out. It's obviously bigger than the iPad mini, and I think that's what is going to come to make it sort of perfect, that it feels size and weight in your hand like an iPad mini, but you've got the bigger, larger screen for doing content creation and actually working with stuff. But here's the other thing that I'm quickly learning, is that one person's perfect iPad might not be the same as another person's. And Apple has, in one shot, made choosing an iPad a very different decision than it was just a couple weeks ago. You know, it used to be a comparison of features. We still have the, you know, how much storage question. How much, you know, do I need 16, 32, 128, 64? That question hasn't gone away. But what has gone away is this internal specs comparison. After storage, the difference between the iPad Air and the iPad Mini is really just the size. Everything else is equal if you throw out a slight difference in the display pixel density on the Retina. And I'm resolving myself that a Retina display is a Retina display. I'm not going to split hairs over, you know, a couple dozen PPI on that. But after that, you've got exactly the same processors, cameras, all the other specs are exactly the same. So now the choice is big versus small. And it turns out there are still a number of things that, even with that being your only choice, there are a number of things that are going to go into making that decision. And you're going to have to kind of come to those conclusions on your own. And I realized there were that, you know, I was thinking about this, you were asking me questions about this, and there were a number of other people I saw making comments and writing things about this, and I thought it would be a good time to get a couple people on and talk about how they're making their decision about which iPad to go with, and that might help you make your decision, or actually just get you through the process of, you know, how do I know which is the right iPad, the perfect iPad for me? So I spoke with Katie Floyd from Mac Power Users, and also Kelly Gamont from The Mac Show, The Comic Show over on the British Tech Network, the unofficial Apple weblog Talkcast, and Angry Mac Bastards. I never realized Kelly was such a busy girl when it came to podcasting, but I talked to both of them about how they're looking at the iPad Air versus iPad Mini decision. And I want to play those interviews for you now. So we're going to start with Katie, and then we'll talk with Kelly Gamont, and I'll come back and we'll wrap things up here in a minute. So, hey, Katie, how you been?
I'm doing great, Adam. Yeah. I am I'm
it's been
iPad-less.
A while since we've had you on the show. Yeah. You're completely iPad-less?
No, I guess not completely. I guess I'm new iPad-less. I'm feeling
new iPad-less.
Yeah, I'm feeling. I always feel a little jealous on launch day when everybody's running out to get the latest and greatest toy, and I'm just kind of sitting here.
Well, you've had days where you've gotten the latest and greatest toy.
Yes,
right?
I've
had stuff delivered to your house on launch days. I know this.
I have. I just want that to be every launch day.
Launch day. Well, yeah, because I wanted to get you on because I actually ran across, I think through Twitter, I saw a tweet that you sent out or something. I forget how I came across it, but over on, you have a blog and you wrote a little blog post about the iPad mini and the last version of the iPad mini. And it fell right in line with something I discovered as I was sort of thinking about the show today about really, this time around with the iPad, I'm seeing a lot more people asking questions about, you know, should I get this version of the iPad? Do I need this version? I have the old version. Do I get the new mini, or do I get the? And it might be because both of them are coming out, you know, relatively at the same time, about the same time. So a lot of people are wondering, you know, do I get the mini? Do I get the full size? And you know, the Air. I guess it's not really quite full size if we're really thinking about it.
That's full
at least
screen
not
size.
In thickness.
Yeah.
Full screen size. Yeah, but none. And so I'm finding that a lot of people are doing that. And so your post kind of had to do more with some, I guess, regret mm-hmm. to a certain degree of passing up the last version of the mini. So maybe that's a place to start. So you really felt that you missed out by not picking up the mini in a certain way last time?
Yeah, I guess to give you a little background, you know, the mini was introduced a year ago, and I think actually a year ago almost to the day.
Pretty close.
When this mini is launched. And it was an off-cycle release because previously Apple always released their iPads in the spring. And so we were all kind of on the spring iPad refresh cycle. So just earlier that spring, you know, less than 6 months prior, I and most other people, I think you were in the same boat, had just Yep. bought a brand new third generation iPad. And we were all told that this was the latest and greatest thing. It had the Retina display. It was super powerful. Turned out it wasn't quite as powerful as maybe it needed to be. But, it, you know, this was the awesome thing. And then, of course, Apple switches the iPad over to a fall release and we get the iPad 4 and we get the iPad mini, and that irritated people for a number of reasons. So I was trying to do a lot of justification of, okay, well, why do I need a mini? And I kept seeing the mini as kind of a downgrade. You know, the mini had the internals of an iPad 2 and it didn't have a Retina display. And, you know, I kept seeing, no, I kept poo-pooing the mini as it's a downgrade from my third generation iPad. And that's ultimately why I didn't do it. But one of the things that's interesting, and don't get me wrong, I love my iPad. It's, I think as I wrote in the post, it's the first thing that I reach for in the morning and the last thing that I put down at night. It spends most of its time on my bedside table or on my coffee table. But that's kind of the problem that I was trying to solve, is that the iPad spends most of its time on my bedside table or the coffee table, meaning that it's not with me. It's not out and about. And I want to use my iPad more. I use it more as a consumption right. device. And I kept coming back to this idea of, am I using the iPad to its fullest potential? And if it was smaller, would I take it with me every day? Would I throw it in my purse? Would I take it to the office? Would I use it when I'm taking notes with clients? Would I use it in depositions? Would I use it for my day job? Would I just use it because I have it with me? And that was kind of the internal struggle that I was going back and forth with this time last year, and ultimately right. did not pull the trigger on the iPad mini, but kind of have spent the last year regretting it.
Are you glad now that you maybe waited and you have the potential to get a maybe even better mini this time around?
Well, of course I'm glad that the new mini is coming out. And now this is the mini that I always wanted, right? I mean, this is,
right.
I'm no longer a quote unquote second class citizen. You know, I've got the iPad mini and the iPad Air are on spec in terms of internals with each other. It's just right. really the only differentiating factor is screen size. So
yeah, that's an amazing thing to me. I never thought we would see that with iPads.
Yeah, so it feels a little bit better that the iPad mini is not a downgrade compared to the full-size iPad. But when I look back in retrospect, You know, if I had bought that iPad mini a year ago and, you know, taken the hit as it was perceived and downgraded, I would have been in the exact same spot more or less as I am today. You know, an iPad mini would have had roughly the same value as my third gen does on the used market, and I really wouldn't have lost anything. But maybe I would have gained a year with the mini, and maybe I would have gained a year of using my iPad even more than I do now. So I don't know.
What's your... I'm curious now, too, though, because you mentioned you've been using your iPad mostly as a consumption device. And just a little background on sort of how I use my two iPads. So, you know, I have the third generation one and I have the mini. And in terms of what leaves the house with me, it really, my decision is almost always predicated on where I'm going and what I think I might be doing or have the opportunity to do with the iPad. And if the answer is I'm going to read articles or read books or watch a movie, something like that, that's when I inevitably grab the mini. But if I think I'm going to be in a situation where, you know, I want to take some notes, I want to do some show prep, I want to do anything with, you know, where I think I might be creating stuff, creating content or text or recording some audio or something like that, that is the time when I'll actually grab the full, you know, the third generation iPad. So I'm curious, you think that just if it's portable, you'll leave the house with it more. So therefore that will drive how you use it outside the house or cause you to use it more outside the house. Whereas for me, it seems like it's the device, which device I take with me is predicated on what I think I might be doing with it.
Well, maybe if I had two iPads, I wouldn't have that problem. So maybe that's the solution. Is maybe I just need to go out and buy two. Obviously.
Yeah, maybe you need two.
Obviously, that's the solution.
Yeah, so I'm trying to sell you on two.
Yeah. At the time, a year ago, and I thought about that a year ago. I thought about, well, why don't I just buy a mini in addition to my third generation iPad? Because, you know, obviously I'm this Mac person. Surely that's justifiable. I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I couldn't bring myself to justify buying a second iPad. And
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of money, and I just kind of would have felt bad about it. About, oh gosh, first world problems. What iPad do I take today? You know, I do have an external Bluetooth keyboard for my iPad. So when I go on vacation for work, I almost always have to take a computer. But when I go on vacation for pleasure, I take my iPad only, and I usually throw that Bluetooth keyboard in the bag so that I can do extended emails or type up blog posts or get things done. I am a little worried, and I'll tell you that those were areas of concern that I have. I am a little worried about the mini for typing because I can type pretty fast in landscape mode on the full-size iPad now. I don't think I'm going to be able to do that in the mini. I'm hoping I'll be able to make up for it by thumb typing on the mini, more in portrait mode.
Right.
Because right now I use the full-size iPad almost exclusively in landscape. And I kind of see that that shifting with the mini. And so hopefully that will make up some of the difference. I just got one of those Evernote Jot Stylus. In fact, I haven't even taken it out of the box yet. It just arrived. UPS dropped it off today.
I saw that.
Yeah.
You tweeted that I want one of those. That's cool.
And I am really, really excited about the idea of taking notes on the iPad. And that's another area that I'm nervous about. And I'll tell you, I'm going to spend a lot of time the next couple of weeks between the launch date of the iPad Air and the iPad Mini trying to take notes with my full-size iPad and seeing how that works and then kind of seeing if I think that experience is going to number one, do I like that experience? And then number two, do I think that experience is going to translate onto the mini? Because I may end up not liking the experience, or I may find that I love it and that it's just not going to translate well to the mini. We'll see.
Yeah, it sounds like it should almost feel in an ideal world, the way it should feel is like you're taking notes on, say, like a Moleskine or something like that.
Yeah, a smaller
in
pad
a little notebook,
a full size one. Yeah,
yeah.
And previously with styluses or styli or whatever you want to, I've tried several of them, and the problem with them has been I always tend to have, you know, I have to get these big thick lines and I have to write large and scale in and scale out, and that's the problem that I'm hoping this Evernote stylus will solve because it's supposed to be one of the finest point styluses that you can buy for your iPad. So we'll see.
Right. So I'm assuming you haven't had a chance to see or check out in person the Air. I mean, it just came out today. So unless you ran out on your lunch hour to someplace, I'm assuming you didn't get to hold one yet.
No, I haven't had a chance, and honestly, I have thought about not going out and checking out the Air, just kind of for fear of if I touch it, I might buy it, because it, we do not have a firm release date for the Mini. You know, I don't know if you covered in your show, the rumors are that we're going to be, you know, we know that it's going to be, quote, later in November, and there's been a rumor date of November 21st, which is kind of an odd date, so I'm not sure I buy that, but I kind of buy that week before Thanksgiving or so, seems like a good date for the Mini to launch if they can. I'm sure Apple wants it out before Black Friday if they can. So I suspect that's when we'll see it. But I do plan on you know, spending some time both with my current iPad and the stylus and probably going to check out the iPad Air before. I tell you, I actually, the day that the Mini launched, I went to the local Best Buy and checked it out, and I think if they had stock of the model I wanted, I would have bought it. But yeah, as you may remember, there were some supply shortages then, and that was just enough of a delay for, call it what you will, better sense to get a hold of me and say, "Nah, I'm not going to do this."
Right. Well, now and now there's rumor that there'll be really constrained supply by the Mini on launch day. I'm a little bit worried about that. I don't want to be waiting in line at an Apple store again overnight.
Yeah, I'm worried about that too. I'm not going to wait overnight in an Apple store. First off,
just order it.
Yeah, I don't have an Apple store in my location, so waiting in line isn't an option. I'm actually going to be traveling for work that week before Thanksgiving, so if it happens to launch that day, I may be in a position where I can pre-order and pick it up. But yeah, but believe me, it's not beneath me to wake up at 3 a.m. our time, because on the East Coast, that's usually when these things launch and pre-order. So.
Right. So last thing I'm going to ask you about, because again, this show is kind of predicated on, and maybe your opinion will change once you've had a chance to sort of hold the iPad, but this show was kind of predicated on this idea that, you know, a lot of people are asking me questions about, well, I was thinking about an Air and I'm not sure I really like the size of the Mini. And so it's this idea that now that there's a lot of feature parity between the iPads in terms of the internals, and you already mentioned that, are you getting people asking you sort of, hey, what do you think? Air, Mini, you know, do I stick with my older one? Should I upgrade? Shouldn't I upgrade? I'm starting to get a lot of these questions. So I'm just curious if someone was asking you, and maybe they already are, What's kind of your advice at this point, do you think?
Well, I think the first thing, well, obviously cost is a factor for many people.
Right.
You know, it's $100 one way or the other, or $200 depending on if you're even considering the non-retina versions. So, you know, cost can be a factor and take those into consideration. And, you know, for someone who cost is a factor is, and, you know, I would guide them appropriately there. I'll tell you, one of the things that I'm looking at is how do you plan on using the device? Allison Sheridan and I were talking the other day, and she says, well, I use my iPad all the time for watching video on the actual iPad. I think she takes it to the gym and she kind of walks around her house with it. And for her, hands down, she needed to get the full size version. And I don't. Although I do play video off of my iPad pretty regularly, although really more off of my iPhone now, I'm almost always airplaying it to an Apple TV, because I've actually got three of these Apple TVs around my house now. So it seems like no matter what room I'm in, you know, I'm going to airplay the video to one of my Apple TVs. So the size for playing video on the iPad Mini didn't really make sense for me. In my concern, because I use it primarily as a consumption device right now, I think for everything that I currently use the iPad for, reading books, email, correspondence, web browsing, things like that, I think the Mini's going to be superior for me. And so I think I'm fine with the Mini that way. Certainly processing power is not going to be an issue. But I also think portability is going to be a big thing. You know, in my thinking here is that I'm hoping, because it is smaller, the iPad will actually become more of a creation device for me because it's with me and because I'm using it more often.
Right.
I would actually go so far as to say my iPhone is more of a creation device for me just because I have it more places than I do my iPad Mini. I use my iPhone, you know, kind of in a lot of places where you're like, this really isn't the best device for this, but because it's the device that I have. And, you know, there's so many times when I'm thinking, that's it would be nice if I had a little bit bigger screen here, and boom, there you go with the Mini.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about these decisions too, and we probably should bring up, because as you're naming off some of these things, I'm going, I feel the same way about that one. And then there's other ones like the size of the screen for video, where I go, you know, I really, my preference has ended up leaning the other way. I am one of those people who I really like my mini for watching movies. So maybe, I don't know if that's more like Allison or not. It sounds like she's using a full-size iPad. So maybe we're at three different extremes here, where it sounds like you're the type of person where I want to see it on my big TV. I've got my Apple TV. I'm going to AirPlay it over there. And that's my preferred experience. So I think experience, the experience you expect or want to have too, I think factors in a big way into this decision for a lot of people. So it's like, I want to create content, but what, it's not just creating content. It's what do you want that content creation experience to be like? Does that make any sense? So like,
no, I'm
the type of person I want to, you know, not me, but you know, someone might say I'm the type of person where I am a touch typist and I want to use a keyboard. And so I'm going to have a keyboard case or a thing that I'm going to carry with me. So maybe I want the mini because it's going to be a smaller size and I'm going to have two things, you know, all those sorts of decisions.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I actually don't like the keyboard cases. Although I know if you're going to go with a keyboard case, like a case that actually fits on the iPad, the full size one is the better way to go because you get close, but not quite to a full size keyboard. Those mini keyboard cases are pretty cramped. Which is why I've opted to go for an external Bluetooth keyboard because if number one, right. I would probably say less than 10% of the time, probably less than 5% of the time, am I using my mini with an external keyboard. So why do I want to carry around that bulk of a keyboard case when I'm not using it?
Yeah. Now you've got me popping open my browser. So hopefully Skype will hold up because I was going to check a bookmark. Somebody just showed me today, somebody has a keyboard device. It's like a stand and a slot that'll give you the slot like the keyboard cases, but that you slide your Apple Bluetooth keyboard into.
Yeah, I've seen a couple
of those. So it creates little...
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So I didn't even know such a thing existed. And to me, that's like, that's interesting because I really like my Apple keyboard, Bluetooth keyboard, and I know a lot of people like and prefer that. I got one of the... is it the origami case? Mm-hmm. Because of that, just so I could throw it in my bag and not have, you know, the keys getting pressed and stuff like that. And that folds into a little stand that you can use for your iPad. Although, honestly, I have to say, I haven't used it very much, but it's probably because I use my Bluetooth keyboard with my Mac and I don't like unpairing it and having to repair it. I just need to buy a second Apple Bluetooth keyboard. I think that's the solution to that problem.
Well, the solution I have to that problem is... I use the Logitech. I want to say it's the K760. Is the It's the small size keyboard. They have a version that's a version that's solar and a version that's not solar that you have to plug in via a USB to not to power 24/7, but when you're ready to charge it, it's got a battery built in. So depending on whether or not you want to deal with having to charge it occasionally or not, you can decide whether you want to go a little bit bigger and have the solar panel or a little bit smaller and have to charge it occasionally. But it will pair with up to three devices. So I've got it paired to my Mac Mini, which is my home server that I occasionally need a keyboard for, but not regularly. I've got it paired to my iPad and I've got it paired to my iPhone. So I've just got one keyboard that I can grab and go with.
That might be the best solution. And the stand, I just found it here on my browser. It's called Nimble Stand. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like there's some others out there. So people can check that out. Well, cool, Katie. Sounds like you'll be a new, proud new mini owner, iPad mini owner, finally in a couple weeks here.
I hope so. And you know what? If it doesn't work out, there's always the iPad Pro coming, right?
The iPad Pro. I think so. The Apple's at least opened up the opportunity for that, I think. So you want to tell people, I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with you, but just in case those out there don't know, where can people find you and sort of follow along with what you're doing? Maybe check out your blog if they want to read that post. So what's going on these days?
Sure. The blog is at Katie Floyd, KATIEFLOYD.me. Twitter is at Katie Floyd. And then the podcast that I do is weekly is Mac Power Users at MacPowerUsers.com. And that's a show I do with our good friend David Sparks. So you can check me out in all those places.
Excellent show. Find it on iTunes and subscribe. Thanks, Katie.
Thanks, Adam.
Hey, Kelly, how you doing?
I'm good, Adam. How are you?
Okay, I'm going to cop to this right away. This is take two. I'm just going to admit it. I can't keep a secret. I was going to try and play it off like we didn't already have this conversation and I screwed up the recording, but I did. But it's nice to talk to you again today. Twice in one day, we get Kelly G, which is a good thing for me. That's a good day for me. I appreciate you coming back because it is iPad launch day. And the reason I wanted to talk to you, because earlier I came back all excited with my new iPad Air, and you and I are occasionally together on the British Tech Network's Mac show, and that happened last week, last Friday, Wednesday, right?
We did Wednesday.
An off day. We're normally on Fridays. So we were there Wednesday, and I think Ewan did a query and said, hey, who's getting an iPad Air, and everybody's hand went up. So I figured you'd be, at the store, order, and I did the in-store pickup thing and have your iPad and we could talk about that. But it turned out that you have played with one, but you don't have one yet.
No. I was actually debating when we went round. I think what Ewan asked was who's getting a new iPad? And I said, I think I am, but I don't know which one.
Right. And that's even better for the conversation that I wanted to have with you, which is why I was even more excited to get you on.
So I got the opportunity today. I was having lunch with my mom. Hi, Mom. And we were near a Best Buy. And so I went into Best Buy just to see if they had one on display where maybe I could pick it up and hold on to it. And I did even better than a display model, which for me was very exciting. There was somebody there, a Best Buy employee, who actually just had one. So it didn't have the big black strap on the back, and it wasn't permanently affixed to anything. So I was able to really pick it up and play with it and use it and see how it felt. And the minute I picked it up, it took less than a minute to basically make my decision for me, because a bunch of things all sort of lined up in my mind. And what I ended up coming to the conclusion of was that the iPad Air is the right iPad for me. I have a third generation now, and I was debating getting a mini. I've been dropping hints for a while about getting a mini at my house. My birthday's in November, and this and that, one thing and another, just to see if maybe I could, score one.
Because, enable one, yeah.
Yeah, because the Mini is, it's such a fantastic little device. So I wanted one. And the reason I wanted one was because it would supplement what I had, which was a full-size iPad. And when I went and held on to the Mini, the Air, I got to hold on to the Air. And the sides are slimmer, and it is, it's dramatically lighter. So I can't get my hand all the way around it to hold it like I would hold a phone or something like that. But to hold on to it in my hand, it was totally fine. And, using it and carrying it around, it didn't seem like it was going to be a burden at all. And like I said earlier today, one of the things I have to consider is I have a purse and, will it fit in my purse and those sorts of things. And I actually have a purse I purchased. I live in Portland, so it's made of black rubber.
Nice and waterproof.
Yeah, it's super waterproof. So that's when you can tell it's officially wintertime. Is my purse black or is it blue? Because I have a blue version that's made out of canvas and then I have this one that's made out of rubber. And does it fit in my purse? And that was really the concern that I had. So I chose this bag specifically because an iPad would fit in it and an iPad and a keyboard would fit in it. The reason that matters to me is because the right tool for the job, which is something I tell people all the time. When I go to a conference, my daily driver Mac is a 13-inch MacBook Pro, non-Retina, has an optical drive. I got it last November. I sort of ended up with it accidentally, actually. We were all set to buy Mr. Kelly a Mac Mini and finally make the switch. We've only been together 17 years and it, took long enough. But we walked in and somehow I walked out with a laptop. I still can't quite figure out how that happened. I didn't complain, but he still has a PC and I'm still sort of confused how it all went down.
Oh, poor guy.
Well, he has an iPad, so he doesn't have a laptop. He turns on the desktop machine when it gets cold in the winter to keep me warm in the office, and runs Quicken. So he turns it on a couple times a week to balance the checkbook and everything. And that's really about all it actually does.
It's soul. Yeah.
The rest of the time he uses his iPad. So for a conference, for a time when I need to be mobile for an extended period, then my MacBook Pro is not the ideal solution, because if I carry it around, the battery doesn't last all day. It lasts a long time. I'm not complaining about the battery life, but it won't last all day. And it folds and it doesn't fit in my purse. And so I have to have a bigger bag that I carry around. And, you know, all the things that go with a laptop. So if I'm going to carry around my laptop, I'm going to have to carry around a power cord too, in case I run out of power. And. So for me to go to a conference, I have an iPad, the Logitech keyboard cover, and I carry that around with my iPad, and I can take notes. I can write down where I met somebody. I can add a person to my contacts. I can take a picture of a business card. I can do all kinds of things with my iPad, and then I don't have to worry about battery life. I don't have to worry about plugging it in. But if I do have to worry about plugging it in, it's a much smaller operation to plug it in than to plug in my laptop. And it's way more portable. I can take notes really quickly. I do have to have an actual keyboard. Again, right tool for the job. So for me, if I had an 11-inch Air to do all that conference stuff with, it does fit in my purse. It's got a dramatically better battery life. I would be less concerned about having to take a power cord with me. Right. And that kind of stuff, you know, I don't have to worry about carrying a keyboard, those sorts of things. If I had an 11-inch Air that was my conference machine or travel machine, then maybe I would have gone iPad mini and it would have been a no-brainer. But since I already am looking for an alternative to my 13-inch machine, for me, the Air was a no-brainer. And to get a good look at it and to see the uneven bezel, because now instead of being the same size bezel all the way around the screen, it's thinner on the sides than on the top and bottom. So it's much more like the iPhone.
Right.
And I like that a lot. A lot of things, I'm sort of accustomed in the world to things being rectangular instead of more square, because it did give it a more square appearance to be that way. You know, TVs are, laptops are, phones are, even though they're the other way.
Right.
So all that stuff, it just made sense. And it really, I'm not complaining about my iPad 3 at all. But looking at it, it was like, oh, all these things are a family. And
right,
it sort of didn't look like one was adopted anymore.
Right. Right. So, I mean, you're kind of mentioning what I'm discovering now, that the iPads, one, and I mentioned this to Katie Floyd just a little bit earlier, that they're all kind of on spec parity in terms of the processor, in terms of the camera and things like that. So what it seems a lot of people are trying to figure out is, okay, well, which is, you know, how do I figure out what is the right iPad for me? And is the Air going to be it? Is the Mini going to be it? Or, you know, like you brought up a good point. I'm seeing more and more people ask, or having more and more people ask me, oh, I'm thinking about an 11-inch Air versus an iPad. And the first time I heard that, someone say that to me, I'm like, those aren't even in the same thing. But a lot of people use them in very, very much the same ways. So I'm kind of curious with, you talked a little bit about your usage, but, you know, you mentioned when we were on the Mac show, you were kind of, I think it might be a Mini. I really want a Mini, but maybe it'll be the Air. I need to see the Air. Now you've seen the Air and sort of made your choice, but then you brought up the 11-inch. So what are the kinds of scenarios when you were ambivalent about it before you sort of made the decision? What was the thought process you were going through? Like, oh, I think I'm probably going to more lean toward the Mini because of this, or I'd more lean toward a MacBook Air because of that. What kinds of things?
Well, part of it is price. I mean, an iPad Mini is dramatically less money than a new laptop. And I love my laptop, but I can't justify a second one for occasional use.
Right.
Because the one I have is reasonably portable if I'm going to go to a location and then come home. So if I am going to go to a coffee shop and sit down in the coffee shop and work in the coffee shop and then put it back in my backpack and go home, I don't have to worry about it so much. When I do something like conferences where sometimes you have to get up and go every hour, hour and a half, you get up and go someplace else. You know, the setup and the takedown in that is dramatic when you're trying to, you know, unplug from power and wind up your cord and put everything in your bag and make sure you got all your crap and then get up and then go to the next place and then unload everything again. When you need to be mobile like that, then it's a lot easier to have something like an Air where power is less of a concern, you know, and things like that. But I think what's starting to happen is now that the specs are virtually the same in the two of them, it's really just the screen size and the physical size of the device. Mm-hmm. I think if this comes down to something that has always been a technological hurdle, I guess, for a lot of people, there's what you wish what you wish you would do with the thing. Mm-hmm. And then there's what you're actually going to do. So I think I mentioned earlier, you know, of course I'm going to edit video. Of course I'm going to record the Great American Rock album. I need a Mac Pro because I'm going to do this stuff. You're not doing it now. And that's probably not going to change.
The technology doesn't make you do it, right? Because you have the technology, you know, doesn't make you do that thing.
Right. And it's not having the technology that's keeping you from recording the album. I mean, Gorillaz recorded an entire album on an iPad.
Right.
Let's be honest about what you could really do with what you actually have. You know, those are some of the best stories. This is what I had, and I turned it into something awesome. How George Lucas got started. You know, that kind of stuff is great. So I think that's a piece of just, you really have to be honest with yourself about what you're going to do with it. The reason the Mini had an appeal to me was strictly physical. I have a Kindle Paperwhite, and I love my Kindle Paperwhite. It's a great size. It's a great weight. I wanted to be able to do more on my Kindle. I don't want a Kindle Fire. So when the iPad Mini came out, I'm like, it's an iPad, but it's Kindle size. This is perfect.
Right.
You know, I can toss it in my bag. I don't even notice that it's there because when I throw my Kindle in my purse, I don't notice the extra weight of my Kindle in my purse. So I can throw it in. I don't have to think about it. You know, great battery life. That screen, which is a beautiful screen, even before it was Retina, it was a really nice screen. Mm-hmm. And it does all the stuff that my iPad does. You know, I can still read all my Kindle books on the same thing and take it with me everywhere. The battery life is great. I can get mobile service in it. You know, I could have cell service if I really wanted to. And all of these things were things that sort of made me go, yeah, I think there may be a place for this in my technological world. But I think the Air, because I'm halfway to laptop when it comes to actual use of my iPad.
Yeah, sort of how you're using it.
I think, and by halfway to laptop, basically what I mean is the screen and the keyboard. I need to be able to see enough of what I'm typing and be able to physically type on an actual keyboard. I can't sit in a conference and take notes with my thumbs. I can't report on something like take notes in an interview, you know, with my thumbs on my screen because I need to be able to feel the keys. It's muscle memory and I need to be able to sort that out. So for me, that's what does it. Now, a lot of people aren't doing output from an iPad. So for somebody, I have a relative who was going on a cross-country trip and had the oldest desktop. Like, I'm not convinced it was even running Windows 98. It was so old.
It's and running Windows they, ME.
And no, like, I think it was 95. I'm not even sure it was a new enough machine to run Windows 98. That's
95 was one of the better ones. They were probably better off anyway, but yeah. Get your point.
Yeah, but still. Still, it was, you know, ancient. Like, I expected to be able to crack open the side and there was a bird operating it like a Flintstone computer.
Running a little wheel, yeah.
Pecking out
on a stone tablet.
Yes, that's exactly what I thought. I was like, if I open this, that's what I'm going to find. And I got to talking to them. They were visiting their daughter and they started talking to me about, we were thinking of maybe getting, you know, some new technology. We were thinking about getting a laptop. What would you recommend? And I said, well, let's be honest. What is it you're actually going to be doing with your device? And, well, you know, I like Facebook. and I like email, and I like to do my banking, and you know, maybe play some Pinochle or cribbage or, you know, some card game that my family, the older members of my family, play that I don't quite get. And they were, and that was, you know, most of it. And I said, well, you know, think about an iPad, because it will do all of those things, and it will also let you FaceTime with your grandson, who is autistic and has an iPad of his own, which is his great communicator. So, like, whenever there's a big family gathering, they sit down ahead of time with pictures of everybody. And this is who this is. And right. This is, you know,
awesome.
This is Kelly. She's your cousin. This is her mom. You know, her mom is Aunt Jennifer. And you know, this is so-and-so. And this is, you know, and their mom is Annie. And being able to do that, like, for him, you know, then he can also talk to his grandparents on the same device. And it was really great for them to get the opportunity. I was like, you know, you can do all these other things with this. And they never really thought about it. And they're like, yeah, you know, that's really probably what we need. And I said, you know, and if you're going to drive cross country, most of the hotels are going to have Wi-Fi. You can look up the stuff you want for the next day, you know, while you're in the hotel, and you'll be all set. And they used it and they love it and they think it's great. And I see a lot of that sort of, you know, if you're really honest about what you're doing,
right,
you may be able to get away with dramatically less machine. And I think one of the nice things about technology getting less shiny over time and becoming more like a television or a microwave in your house, like, it's just a thing,
mm-hmm.
and you have it, and it, and you use it to do, the point of using it is not, look at me use my iPad, you know, like, the point of the microwave is not, I live in the future, my food is instantly heated. The point of the microwave is, I need dinner now, and I gave you a burrito, and you're going to give me dinner. You know, I gave you a block of ice,
right,
and you're going to give me a meal. And, you know, the point of it is not, wow, the microwave is amazing. Like, we've all gotten past that. And the same with the television. And I'm actually sort of excited that something like the iPad is getting a little less novel, because now people are really going to put it to use. People are really going to, you know, figure out the stuff that it does. And we're seeing some of that already, like with airline pilots being able to take an iPad instead of 45 pounds of paper with them right. everywhere. And, you know, the fuel that saves and the paper that saves, all these things. And medical profession, like all the ways that people are deploying iPads and doing cool things medically with them to help give people better care. And all the kind of stuff that you can do once it stops being about, look at me with my iPad and, like, look what I'm doing and how right. the iPad helps.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that's really going to be the change. And Apple's going to continue to be a part of that. The iPad's going to continue to be a part of that. And it's just going to depend. You know, until doctors' white coat pockets get bigger, the iPad mini may be the best thing that ever happened to the medical profession, because you can have all that reference material, even on a 16 gig mini.
Yeah.
There's so much information you could carry around on that would probably fit in the pocket of one of those white coats.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. Like, we're moving from that sort of awe and wow, that's really cool technology, but I'm not really sure how that fits in my life or I'll use it. I mean, geeks kind of got it right away, but now it's moving to that mm-hmm. more utilitarian phase where people are going, oh yeah, this is a computer. You know, we always kind of knew it was a computer all along and could do all the computery things, but like your example points out, other people are starting to say, oh yeah, this is a thing. This is something I can buy, mm-hmm. and I can get my email and internet, and it'll do everything that my big bulky laptop used to do.
Yeah. It's a viable option where it may not have been before for a number of reasons. Now, a huge piece of that, of course, is the ecosystem.
Right.
But I think there's a lot of that it really, this is the part where I start to get excited, because I can't wait to see who's going to go, well, you know, we have all these iPads, we should do something cool with them, and then figure out what that cool thing is. It's going to be phenomenal, I think, to figure that stuff out.
Yeah, and the other amazing thing that was always great, I thought, about the iPad, and this factors into that decision. So a lot of this, bringing back to what we've been talking about, is trying to figure out what device, which iPad sort of fits your life. And a big part of that conversation is the fact that the iPad is such a personal device. It's probably the most, in my mind, most personal computer ever because of the ecosystem and the apps and the thing. It can be really tweaked and fine-tuned to be the thing that you need. And so even though you have an iPad Air and I have an iPad Air, or you have an iPad Mini and I have an iPad Mini, those two things are highly, highly different in terms of how we might use them. Even more so than computers. You know, I think a lot of times computers kind of all had the same software and people always kind of used them for the same things. Whereas iPad, and I don't know if it's because of the lower price point, I think it's a lot because of the app ecosystem. And it's sort of like, if I am a doctor, I can get all my doctory apps and they're really highly specific. Yeah. And, you know, I have instruments that I can, accessories that I can buy that will do blood pressure. And, you know, I'm into those sorts of things. Yeah. Or, you know, I'm a movie maker and I'm going to get this really cool Steadicam rig for mine. And I'm going to hook it up to all this other, you know, these microphones and things like that. Yeah. And it's going to be my, yeah. And, you know, the computer always kind of did that to a certain degree, but for some reason, the iPad seems to be even more, more personalized.
Well, it broke you out of your backpack.
Yeah.
Like, that's really what it is. You know, you can carry an iPad around all day under your arm, and it's not, even the first generation wasn't going to make your arm tired. And you can really do, you know, when you're not constrained by having to huff around a bunch of stuff to go with that, like an iPad and a Steadicam rig isn't that big a deal to carry around. You know, if you're already going to be carrying a camera and a Steadicam rig, like, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference if it's an iPad. And on your iPad, you can have the entire script, all the shots you need. You can be marking that stuff off as things progress. And, you know, you have...
You could edit it and put it on Vimeo when you're done.
Yeah, on your way home, you know. It just pluses everything. Like, not only can you shoot that movie, you can edit that movie and you can upload that clip, like, right now. And all of the possibilities that come with that, I think, are really what makes it exciting. And I this is the part, like I said, this is the part that I think is fun. And I think part of the with the app ecosystem and everything else, the flexibility of having the right tool for the job, which is the, like, you know, to bring it all the way back around to when I started talking.
Right. Yeah.
And then way derailed us.
Yeah.
The, you know, having the right tool for the job, you know, it's not hard to fit an iPad into a lot of places.
Right.
You know, into a lot, you know, into turning it into the right tool for the job. You get a couple of the right apps, or you get the right accessory to slap on the back or attach to the side. And it is the thing that will do what you want to do. And I think for me, that's really phenomenal. People are taking it seriously. It's not some fad thing from Apple that Apple people really enjoy. Like, it's a thing now. It's an actual honest to God market, an honest to God ecosystem, an honest to God not going away. So it's right. Worth the time for somebody to develop a cool microscope or that doctor's attachment that's 30 pin and slaps in the side of an iPad too, that lets you take blood pressure or blood sugar or anything else, and, you know, really expands the possibility of that. And I think that is the phenomenal piece. And if people are more honest about what they actually need to do, then the iPad makes a lot of sense for a lot of people, particularly now that everything is upgraded. It's a lot faster. The screens are all beautiful and you can do a lot with it. And again,
right.
You know, a straightforward keyboard and, you know, you're good. You can do all kinds of things with just a device and the right couple of accessories.
Right. And being honest in answering that question also answers the question that we sort of started this thing to as well, which is, which iPad do I get? So I think that really gives, I think, your story and what we talked about with Katie and you know, sort of some of the things I've discovered now that I have the iPad Air in my hands, really are going to help people a lot figure out. I mean, that's the approach to take. And it was the same approach we used to take with computers. It never was really applied to tablets, but it seems like this time around, it's time, you know, this is how you answer your tablet question. So cool. Thanks, Kelly. I want to thank you for doing this yet again. It was a pleasure having you on. I know a lot of people have heard you on other shows, know what you're up to and where you're from. But for anybody who maybe doesn't follow along that closely, can you let them know where can they find you? Where can they follow you? Get sure. Even more Kelly.
Well, yeah, you don't have to look hard. as Adam mentioned, you can find us on The Mac Show on the British Tech Network. I'm also elsewhere on the British Tech Network. I do The Comic Show with Jeff Gamet, among others, and we have a good time with that. That's, like I said, also on the British Tech Network. Yeah. It's super fun. You can find me myself on Twitter and app.net, mostly app.net as Verso. And if you want to listen to me, you can also hear me on the Tuwa Talkcast at the unofficial Apple weblog, tuaw.com. And I also am a host at Angry Mac Bastards, which if you bother looking up on iTunes, you will see has an explicit tag. Yeah,
a little more blue.
It's called Angry Mac Bastards. So just so you know, that's what you're in for. But that's also a really good time, and it's a lot of fun to do those shows. And you can also hear me on the MacCast whenever Adam decides to have me back.
Yep. Yeah. We'll have to get you back maybe after you've had some time with your ear to see if it really does meet all of your needs. So, because I think that's going to be the next conversation we're going to be having. We need some time with them now. They're a little too new. Thanks again, Kelly.
Yeah. You're more than welcome. Anytime.
So there you go. A little advice or just a little direction in kind of handling this nerd world problem of what iPad do I get? I guess that's not too bad of a problem to have if that's the situation you're in. But hey, it's a decision and you're plunking down some serious amounts of cash to get an iPad. It's not a decision that you want to make lightly, and you want to be able to know, hey, where do I need to put my time and energy in terms of figuring out the right model or the right thing that's going to sort of meet my needs. And so hopefully this episode helped you out a little bit there. If you are a person who picked up a new iPad recently, or maybe you're not going for a new iPad and you have some rationale, some reasoning for making that decision, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear how you're working through this process, how you're deciding which iPad is the right iPad or maybe not the right iPad for you. Send your emails along maccast@gmail.com, and I look forward to hearing from you on that. But that's going to do it for today's episode. Before I leave you, I do want to take a quick moment and thank all of my show sponsors: Smile, makers of Text Expander, PDF Pen, Disc Label, also PDF Pen for your iPhone, your iPad, as well as Text Expander Touch, and their new app, PDF Pen Scan Plus. Great app for scanning documents on the go with OCR and all the good bells and whistles. You can check out all their software, get more information and details over at smilesoftware.com. The Transporter by Connected Data. You can get all the benefits of cloud storage with the control and security and privacy of a physical hard drive or NAS. You can get more details and check out all the Transporter models over at filetransporter.com/maccast. And I want to mention they have a new device out called the Transporter Sync that lets you connect your own USB hard drive and get Transporter functionality. So check that out, and that's at a great price, $99 for that one. And when you go over to Transporter, you can get $50 off your own Transporter right now by using the offer code MC50. So M like Mac, C like Cast, and the number 50 over at filetransporterstore.com. And that offer is valid on all of the Transporter models with or without a drive, but not the new Transporter Sync. And the offer is valid through November 11th, so act on that now. I'd also like to thank Gazelle. It's the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets online. You want to pick up that new iPad Air and you want to get a little bit of cash to help fund that purchase. You can get cash for your old iPhone, iPad, or other Apple products. Just check them out. Find out what they're worth over at gazelle.com. Squarespace, if you need to build a website, you want it with e-commerce and all the bells and whistles, you should really check out Squarespace. It's an all-in-one platform. It makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, blog, online portfolio, online store. For a free trial, you can go to squarespace.com and you can get 10% off your first order by using the offer code MACCAST11. And a big thank you to all of my sponsors for their support of the MacCast. Big thank you to you for your support. Please send in your emails, your audio comments. You have a question, a topic you'd like to hear covered on a future episode. You have some comments to make about the new iPads or your new iPhone, whatever it might be. You can shoot your emails to maccast@gmail.com. You can also call in on the listener hotline, leave a voicemail, 281-622-4269. 281-MAC-IAM-9. You can leave voicemail on Skype. My Skype address is the MacCast. Be sure to check out the MacCast forum over on the website. That's a great community for getting answers to your questions and interacting with other listeners to the MacCast. And also on the website, you can find show notes with links to everything that I talked about in this or any other episode of the MacCast. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MacCast, or over on Facebook. Check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheMacCast. And when I update and put out those unboxing photos and videos, I'll also be posting to Twitter and Facebook. So if you're following me there, you'll get the links. Also, check out the MacCast Google Plus community. Just search for MacCast on Google Communities, and you'll find that one as well. So lots of places to hang out and participate between shows. I hope to see you there. But until then, that's it for now. And I will talk to you all again real soon.